following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this December 3rd, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. It's beautiful outside. When you look from the inside, it's chilly outside today. I love it. This is my type of weather. For those of you that know me, this is my type of weather, man. I love the cold. I like putting on a nice pullover, a little jacket, maybe a beanie as well. This is my type of cold. So hope you're all doing well, staying warm out there on this December 3rd on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We got a lot to get to on the show today, as you can probably hear and tell. Still not feeling my best, but there's too much going on to stay at home. And so, of course, practicing safe practices? Sure, I don't know how to say that properly, but yeah, I don't know. I got work to do. That's all I can tell you. I got work to do. So we got a lot to get to on the show today. And I say we because joining me in the studio, as he does every single Tuesday, is the voice of Lee Scott Academy, Christian Griffin. What's up, my man? How are you on this Tuesday?
Doing well. You mentioned it being a little chilly out, brought the beanie for the first time this year.
Yeah.
And
I respect it.
It's not an attire that comes out very often, but on days
beanie,
like
man.
This, and especially with the long nights that we have tonight and upcoming throughout the week, figured it was nice to go ahead and bring it out. But what a day. College football free agency is at its full-time swing right now, and I feel like that is comically laughed at, but at the same time, it could not be more true. I had to unfollow Hayes Fawcett on X today because I got 50 notifications of blah blah flipping from Missouri to Ole Miss, or blah blah flipping from Florida State to Florida, or whoever it may be and whatever it may be. All sorts of commits, decommits, whatever that word seems to mean anymore, but a wild upcoming 24 hours, especially here on the plains, as early National Signing Day tomorrow, going throughout the day.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about that on the show today. More reactions from the Iron Bowl, Auburn and Alabama this past Saturday. Plus, we got some Auburn basketball coming up tomorrow against Duke that we need to hit on as well. Christian, you're with me for the first hour and a half. You'll have to dip out a little bit early. You're on the road for basketball for Lee Scott. I'm on the road for basketball for Auburn High as well. We're both heading the same direction, but I'll hang out and finish the show. But you guys are on the road taking on Horseshoe Bend.
We are, yeah. We hosted Horseshoe Ben, the last time that the Lee Scott Sports Network actually broadcasted a game, and that was at Lee Scott Academy, and both teams gave Lee Scott a run for their money. That was the fastest paced game that I've ever called. Horseshoe Bend plays a very similar style of basketball that Lee Scott Academy does. They don't necessarily want to run half court sets. Neither team has giant size or anything of that matter, but they just want to get the rebound, get an outlet pass, and run. And if there's 8-minute quarters, I would say the first quarter lasted about 9 minutes and 15 seconds. It was the fastest paced game that I've called, and so you expect something similar to that. Tonight, it got a little chippy, too, so it'll be interesting to see if Horseshoe Bend and that little student section comes out and tries to support their team with Lee Scott coming to town.
Yep, you guys will be on the air. You'll be on the air going on girls around 5:30. I always tell people with high school basketball, the start time for the girls is typically fluctuating a little bit, right?
They play today.
Yeah, they play at some point on this day, just because of, you know, JV games and overtimes and running clocks and things like that. It's a roundabout. So around 5:30, you could tune in over on Tiger Country 104.5 on the Lee Scott Sports Network. That's where Christian will be calling Lee Scott Academy girls and boys basketball as you are on the road at Horseshoe Bend. I will be on the air at the exact same time on our other sister station, 96.3 W. Lee, for Auburn High basketball as they get a nice win last night against Montgomery Academy. I believe you guys are going to see them or already have seen them. Christian, can't remember if you've called Montgomery Academy or not. Maybe they played over
Thanksgiving. It was a Thanksgiving tournament.
That's right. They played over Thanksgiving.
And they split.
Okay. Well, Auburn was able to get two wins last night, the girls and the boys. Girls in dominating fashion. Boys pulled away late to get two wins. That was last night inside of Auburn High School Gymnasium. And then we are on the road tonight taking on, we are on the road at Benjamin Russell. So looking forward to that. That is on 96.3 W Lee. Girls at 5:30, boys at 7. So both of us are going to be on the air calling high school basketball. Looking forward to that. Also looking forward to what's going to be a great show today. And I know it's Tuesday and baseball season's not in, but Christian, got to get this out very, very quickly. Our baseball power, I don't know, couple of minutes, yeah. Right? Have you seen what the greatest commissioner in all of sports had to say about Major League Baseball today and a possible change that could be coming to the sport? Have you seen this? I'm sure you have.
The golden at-bat. Which is a crazy story. This rule would allow one team, or I guess both teams, to choose one at-bat in every game to use their best hitter regardless of where they're at in the lineup. So you could see for the Los Angeles Dodgers, for example, Shohei Ohtani bat, and then he gets walked, and say the bases get loaded, oh, let's use Shohei Ohtani again, and he would then be up with the bases loaded. What a crazy, crazy concept. I don't know if I'm a fan, at least at first.
I'm definitely not a fan.
I understand from the standpoint of, again, baseball, as much as it hurts me to say, is a dying game. And you don't get the same feel with everything now that it's turned into such a three-result-oriented at-bat. It's the home run, the walk, or the strikeouts. That's kind of where baseball has gone. But a rule like this eliminates anybody other than the Shohei Ohtanis or the Aaron Judges. It eliminates anybody like Tommy Edmund, who was the MVP of the NLCS, who's not necessarily a power hitter, but just does everything the right way. It takes people like that out of the game and eliminates them to simply be batters or be professionals in the batter's box instead of just pure power hitters.
And just kind of be there when we need you or when we want you type of thing. And it's crazy to me to look at Major League Baseball because you're right. I mean, it's a sport that you start looking at viewership numbers, listenership, followers, just all of that. I mean, it's a declining sport across the country. Now, overseas, it's still, I mean, look at the international players that are playing Major League Baseball and just playing professional American sports. I mean, the NBA is seeing that at a high, high level right now. But it's crazy to see how Major League Baseball, in this ever-changing world where it is pure money, and it's always been about money, but now more than ever in sports, that's just what they want. That's what they do. You have half the teams in the league that all they do is focus on, hey, how do we make a profit? We don't care if we win games or not, because in Major League Baseball, you don't have to win games to make a profit. And it's crazy to see how MLB is really the one that's hurting the most. I think the NBA is hurting a little bit too. I think the NBA is hurting from a fan base standpoint. You're not gaining a whole lot of NBA fans right now, maybe from the betting market, but I just don't know. But my point on all this,
counteracting that real fast, though, I think what the NBA and Adam Silver have done, who is arguably the best commissioner in sports, what they've done.
The bar's not very high on that.
It's not, but the play-in tournaments and things like that, what they've done have actually really, really benefited
the sport. I'll agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. And with this whole golden at-bat thing, and what will it come to fruition? I don't know. But you do have to give credit. This is going to sound crazy. But you do have to give credit to Manfred because they're trying to change the game and keep people interested. They're trying to keep viewers, especially the younger audience, engaged with the sport, right? Because baseball from the 80s and 90s, man, you're not going to get a 10-year-old to sit down and watch that. In person, on the TV, listen to it on the radio, they don't have the attention span nor the want to sit and take that in for 4 or 5 hours. That's why you've seen games be cut in half of that and are being finished in 2.5 hours now in Major League Baseball. That's why you've seen the banning of shifts. That's why you've seen DHs. That's why you've seen the extra runner in the ghost runner in extra innings. Like, that's why all of those things have been added and created, is to generate excitement that baseball wasn't generating on its own for the younger audience to try and keep them around. So I understand where a thing like the golden at-bat rule would come into play, and I understand why you would do it. It almost sounds like it doesn't even sound real. Like, it sounds like something you'd hear in a video game or in the All-Star game. Like, this doesn't sound like something you would actually do in a regular season game.
Or it's like you're playing wiffle ball in the backyard and you're playing 3-on-3 to where you hit to lead off the inning, and then all of a sudden your ghost runner now is on third and you're already up to bat.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't seem like a real rule. It seems like something that was just thought of in your dreams at night. And since we have not had this guy on in quite some time for a baseball power hour, I texted our guy Lindsey Crosby today and I said, I need a statement. I said, how do you feel about the golden at-bat rule? Of course, Lindsey Crosby, host of the Braves Today podcast. He writes for BravesToday.com. He'll be joining us once the spring gets back. We bring him in periodically, and then he's with us pretty much every week for a baseball power hour. I texted him. I said, I need an official, unofficial statement from you about the golden at-bat rule. And he says this, and I don't think he would mind me reading this. He says, it'd be cool in the All-Star game. Imagine Emmanuel Clase is in the ninth to close the game for the American League, so the NL sends up Otani, Acuna, and Harper to the plate, right? In the All-Star game, you could do something like that. He did say, however, the Otani versus Trout thing was cool, right? That huge moment in the All-Star game, the Otani versus Trout AB. Because of the stakes, the fact they were teammates, and how rare it is. Does allowing the closer for Robert for the White Sox, or is it Robert? I forget.
Luis Robert.
Yeah, Robert, that's right. Of the White Sox to skip the batting order to face Chad Green of the Blue Jays in May really recreate that? No, it doesn't. A situation like that in April, May, or June doesn't recreate what we saw of Otani and of Trout. He says, if they put this into the regular season, I will buy a flight to New York and fight somebody in the MLB offices.
It just makes it to where you feel like you're almost trying to overcompensate for something that's not really there. And by doing that, you're creating so many more issues, because then it goes back to, okay, well, then the pitcher is now at a disadvantage because, you know, a lefty might be put in because you're expecting to face Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, and then possibly, you know, Mookie Betts or whoever. But then all of a sudden you can put in a power righty, and the pitcher's now in the MLB. You have to face at least three batters. So then it makes it to where, okay, what's going to be the counter movement for the pitchers against the golden at bat? Can you make it to where you then only have to face one batter and you can go back to a different pitcher or go back to the bullpen? It feels like it creates more problems then it ultimately solves. And even going back further, I don't know what problem it solves or what the benefit that it creates, other than, I guess, more publicity because Shohei Ohtani could get one more at bat in a game.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, is like, you implement this, and my bet would be that over an entire season of 182 games, with the golden at-bat rule, you would have less than, would this, did they say, and I didn't, I guess, read into it this deep, did they say this would be every game? You'd have this every single game?
Each team could do it once every single game.
Okay, well then my number may not be accurate, but how about this? I would bet that in an 182 game season of Major League Baseball, where you had this golden at-bat rule, my guess would be less than 15% of those golden at-bats would turn into highlight moments, which is why that rule would be put into place anyway, right? You're putting this in place to make drama, create drama, to get the clicks, to get the views, to get the engagement.
You're doing it to post it on social media for the younger generation to think it's cool.
That's exactly right. I would be willing to bet that less than 15, maybe 20% would end up that way. Is that enough for Major League Baseball to be happy? I don't know. Probably. But like you're saying, does that not just create more problems down the line? For those that know me and listen to me long enough on radio, you know that I'm all for changes in baseball. I am. I've been very vocal about a lot of big changes in the sport of baseball to make it better, to make it fair, and for me, to make it more entertaining. This one seems a little extreme for me. This one, like I said, it doesn't even seem like it's real. It seems like it was a fake video game type of thing that we're trying to implement into the real world of sports. It seems like something out of a fantasy show.
When you went back a couple years and you implemented the three biggest rule changes of bigger bases, the pitch clock, and the stolen base, where you can only pick off twice. The third one has to be, you know, a successful pickoff or it's a balk. And then the shift in there as well. When that was being created or when that was being implemented, it started off in the minor leagues for 2 or 3 years. Certain places or certain pieces of them were implemented at certain different cases. And after 2 or 3 years, when you had that whole thing being discussed, there was a list of pros and cons that each of those created, right? And it felt like after going back and looking at it, hey, if we make a little bit of a pitch clock, we've noticed in minor leagues the play went down from, you know, X to however long, and now in the MLB you've seen it to where games are literally being cut in half. I've seen videos where entire innings, or entire half innings rather, lasted as long as one pitch did in the MLB postseason because the catcher came out and talked to him, then the pitching coach came out and talked to him. And,
well, still.
But things like that to where you can't necessarily do that anymore. You had a list of pros and cons for every single possible question mark or any possible thing that could come up. With this, it makes it to where, again, I don't feel like there's a true benefit into it other than trying to possibly get engagement on the quote-unquote the cool side of social media to where, again, Shohei Ohtani could hit a leadoff single and then he steals second base. All of a sudden somebody comes and hits – or, you know, somebody takes his spot at second base and he hits a walk-off single to score his own would-be run. Other than that, I don't really see a benefit.
I'm with you. Well, didn't know we were going to go a whole segment, but I like it. I think it's something that – has started to float around the internet today and wanted to address it and got our thoughts from our guy, Lindsey Crosby. We miss you, Lindsey, if you happen to be listening. We'll get him in soon to talk some baseball with Auburn baseball, Braves baseball, MLB as well. But when we come back, we're going to talk some college football. Got to get Christian's thoughts on the Iron Bowl. Plus, you've got playoff rankings coming out tonight. You've got a lot going on in the world of college football. Transfer portal, recruiting flips, signing days tomorrow. All of that coming up here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Coach Hugh Freeze, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
Back inside the studio at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday. Hope you're doing well. Jacob Goins with you in the studio. Christian Griffin with me as well. We'd love to take phone calls. We're wide open today. 334-321-1390. Open the show with a little bit of baseball, but do want to talk some college football. We'll get to the Iron Bowl in just a little bit, Christian, because I know you've got some deep thoughts on that. We'll get to that in the next segment coming up. But outside of the Iron Bowl, results that stood out to you this weekend in college football, we can also take that from callers as well, 334-321-1390, or you can always text us in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067.
I guess it kind of leads into, or I guess continues the ramble that we had a little bit to begin the show, talking about college football, free agency, and again, everybody knows that there's so many things that are wrong with college football, but it seems like nothing has truly been made of it. I feel like rivalry week this week, even with the upsets and even with everything that happened, to me, it felt like it didn't live up to anything. And it's a really weird way to look at it, but I think that it's just because, again, it's a one-year commitment for anybody that joins a school, right? I mean, take Michigan-Ohio State, for example. What do you think that game meant to Ohio State? Or what do you think that that game meant to Shamar Moore versus Kyle McCord, that was the name I was trying to think of. Versus,
Got you.
It's not even Kyle McCord. Who is the?
Who are you? I don't know who you're
Ohio
talking
State
about.
State quarterback.
What is your point here? I'm confused.
Will Howard. Wow, that is the name of the guy that I was trying to think of. What do you think that game meant to Will Howard?
Okay.
In comparison, I said Kyle McCord. That was the one name that was coming to mind, and I knew that that was not the right name.
I didn't know what you were trying to say. I was like, you. Okay, all right. No. Start over, brother.
Talking about pageantry
being. Oh, my God.
Pageantry being. It's Tuesday, and.
Dude, my brain is not braining, and yours definitely wasn't
Wasn't. Okay. It was not braining. So for those that don't know, Will Howard has been the quarterback for Ohio State all year. Yeah, not Kyle McCord. Kyle McCord just upset Miami.
Yeah, he's at Syracuse now. Yeah.
But what do you think that that game meant to Will Howard? More than just a regular game. You hear about it if you join Ohio State, and you hear about the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry, but what do you think that game meant to Shamar Moore, who's been with the program a lot longer? I feel like it means so much more. You look at that, kind of reflects college football and the rivalries as a whole, where just the pageantry and the true hate of rivalry and passion is gone, because it makes it to where I went to this place because it gave me more money rather than I grew up being an Auburn fan and despising Alabama. So that rivalry just meant that much more. I felt like that was kind of what rivalry was. Rivalry week was to me this week. It felt like it was, yeah, the games were still fantastic, and obviously the emotions were still there both on and off the field, but it didn't live up to what I was expecting with, I guess, the fulfillment of being a true college football fan and what that rivalry week brings.
Do you think that was you generating that, knowing that the players aren't from Ohio or Michigan or Alabama or South Carolina? Like, do you think you, and I'm not calling you out, I'm just curious, do you think you went into the weekend thinking that, knowing that college football is just different and that rivalry weekend maybe won't be what it used to be? Because my opinion is, I thought that was awesome. I mean, you saw, as you mentioned, you saw all the emotions, a little too much in a lot of these big games, and I think that's awesome. And not that I'm a huge supporter of flag planting, but I did love it when Baker did it at Ohio State. That was awesome. But that was the first time it happened.
That would have started World War III
this weekend. Year. Yes, they would have. Yeah, he may not have made it out of the shoe.
Like, no,
it would have been bad. But I was actually genuinely surprised at the emotions that we saw this weekend in college football, and whether that came from hatred to the other side, or entitlement to each other, or for oneself, there's a big argument there on that, right? That the emotions were so high, and I think T-Bone may have made that point yesterday, where it was more, this is about me.
It was individualized, and I guess that's kind of the point that I'm bringing up.
I think it is.
Because by no means, again, was I unhappy or unsatisfied with the result of rivalry week, but it just felt like in game it wasn't as much Auburn competing against Alabama or Ohio State's 11 versus Michigan's 11.
It felt much more like versus this set of players.
Correct. And it was just, how can I build my stock? And then now knowing that, I mean, there's kids before the SEC championship game that are dropping out of their school and entering the portal. It just makes it to where everything has become such more individualized. And this has nothing to do, like, again, the argument of whether or not college athletes should be paid is out the window. It's by no means of anything like that. But I guess to what Uncle T-Bone was saying, that was kind of what I was trying to bring up, was it just felt like it wasn't our 85 versus your 85. It was much more, I'm going to get my own, and I'm going to make a highlight, and I'm going to make it great, and that's why I'm going to go flag plant, because I need clicks and I need the social media.
I think, too, where college football has gone in terms of, if you're not in, you're out, right? Brad Law tells us that all the time when he visits with us on Thursday. I think that has a lot to do with it, too, because back in the day, the Iron Bowl or the game or Clemson, South Carolina or Florida, Florida State, like, there was no playoff to make, and heck, even if you were a 7-win team, you were still going to a bowl game, but you played your season to beat the team on the other side.
Yeah. You play your season for late November.
Do you do that anymore?
No.
No, you play your season now for December. You play it for the playoff. You play it to win championships. And that's the difference.
And I think that's another big topic that was talked about early on, but hasn't been talked about as much, is how much everything gets watered down just because of how everything works that way, to where, again, I mean, even you're looking at it with Georgia and Georgia Tech. And
hold on, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Did you hear that music on the way back, Christian? Did you hear that?
Yeah,
you heard?
I did hear it. Yeah.
You heard? What was that?
We had to re-plug in the mic to get the true sound working.
Ah, so. Got you. Okay. All right. Well, we're back. We're 30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
He was giving the hurry up signal. I thought that meant keep talking.
I guess I could. Yeah, all right, whatever. I still blame you.
We got the Mondays on Tuesday.
I'm telling you, man, it's been a long week, and it's Tuesday. Phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. They're not always open, but they are right now, and you can get in on that, 334-321-1390. You can always get in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067, and we get to the phone lines now. And Jones, you're on the line. What's up, man?
Gentlemen, you guys are baseball guys a little bit. You guys remember a man named George Steinbrenner?
Sure.
All right, yes or no? Do you think George Steinbrenner, looking at the last 22 games under Hugh Freeze, would allow him to come back another year?
I'm going to go with no on that one, Jones. I guess that's what I assume that's where you're going, right?
Well, I know I'm in the minority, and I don't want to pick a fight with Hugh Freeze lovers. And I hear all this trepidation. All I've heard for 2 years on this show and others is the analysis of, well, you know, if Thorne would have done this, and if this guy would have blocked, and if this guy. The bottom line is this. I've been in business many, many years. I'm old enough to be your grandfather. And I can tell you, I see things the way they are. This man is wrong for Auburn. And giving him another year, it's just simply not going to work, guys. I don't see why nobody else sees it. And your callers, while they're very erudite and have wonderful, keen insights, I'm not understanding why nobody but me sees that this guy is totally inappropriate to run our program.
Remind me, refresh my memory here, Jones. Were you on that train when Auburn hired him?
Absolutely not, but I accepted it because I love Auburn more than life itself.
Okay. That's fair. I genuinely didn't know. I was curious.
Yeah, and the reason I say that is I don't want to be so negative that it becomes and ruins your show like I did yesterday.
No, you're good.
The bottom line is this. Explain to me like I'm 4 years old. Stop the analysis of plays and should have done this and could have had another quarterback. You got to start at the top. And every organization, every philosophy within the organization starts with one person at the top, man or woman. It's not committee. It's not fans. It's one person. This guy's running our program in the ditch. And I'm telling you, I can't take another moment of it. Not much I can do about it. I'm not signing his check. But the man needs a boost of something. That's why I asked you if you like George or new George Steinbrenner. Because if we had a Steinbrenner running at the helm of this program, this wouldn't be happening. Somebody would have called him to the carpet last year, in the middle of last year.
Right.
It's not the losses. It's the appearance of lacking consistency, continuity, and toughness. But we can analyze it all we want. I just want the man gone yesterday if possible.
Well, there you go. Jones, always great to hear from you, my man. Thanks so much for the phone call, 334-321-1390. That leads into us talking more about the Iron Bowl, Christian. I know you have thoughts, and I want to touch on what he was saying because he is one of the – I'm not going to say many, one of the few, a large few, that are now starting to jump on that side of the boat where they're done. I mean, they're done with Freeze, they're done with him, they're done with the antics, they're done with the bad play calling, they're done with the vision, they're done with the preaching, they're done with all of that, right? And I don't blame people who think that way and are done with what Hugh Freeze is selling. I don't. I get it. And that's why I asked Jones what he thought about Hugh Freeze when Auburn hired him, because there were a lot of people who were not a fan of Hugh Freeze and not a fan of Auburn hiring him, and Auburn got mocked for hiring him as their head coach. And I think, like Jones, a lot of people said, okay, I'm going to give him a chance. I sure did. I know I did. Gave him a second chance, right? Come in, see what you can do. You got to recruit, you got to get players, and you got to win. And some of those things have happened, but Auburn is not winning. I think Jones is talking on a much deeper level here on why he wants him to be gone, and I won't quite touch on that. That's just a personal opinion for him, and I'm sure a lot of others too. But at the end of the day, the goal has not changed. The standard has not changed. The quota of this job has not changed as the head football coach at Auburn University. You have to win games, and Auburn is not doing that. Saturday showed it in the Iron Bowl. You showed it against Vandy. You showed it against Missouri. You showed it against Oklahoma. You showed it against Georgia. You showed it against Arkansas, and you showed it against Cal. You aren't winning games. That's a lot of names I just rolled off right there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of names. Auburn lost every single one of those. They let those teams beat them this season. That standard has not changed. And to get down to just the point, right, like Jones just cutting through it, and we tell it like it is on this show, throw out all of that. Throw out everything, whether you like the guy or not, whether you think he's a good dude or not, whether you think he's gotten over his past or not, whether you think he's a godly man or not, whether you think he's an Auburn man or not. I don't care. I have a professional relationship with him, but I don't know him that well. I don't know him like some people do in this town, but that doesn't matter. He's not winning right now. That is the only thing that matters.
And I think the thing that adds on to exactly what you're talking about, and I mean, it's a fantastic segment that you've made, but the post-game interview after the Iron Bowl where he was talking about he really hopes that people aren't judged off of the final score of a scoreboard.
I'm tired of hearing that crap.
In reality, again, regardless of everything else that goes on, what goes into your bank account is based off of the final score on a scoreboard.
Yeah. And look, there is a time and a place to say that life is bigger than football, because it is, to say that becoming a respectable, hardworking young adult, young man, that is all great, and that all needs to happen. Like, those are very important values to have as an 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24-year-old. I get that. But there has to be a line that is drawn here as a head coach, as the man, as Jones was saying. I mean, Hugh Freeze is the man. Whether you like it or not, right now, as we sit here on December 3rd, 2024, of Auburn football, Hugh Freeze is the guy. And there has to be a line drawn to where you want them to be good men, and you do what you can to have an in-depth, deep relationship, an open-door policy where they can come and talk to you, and you're going to make them great husbands, great fathers, and great grandfathers. That's fantastic. And there have been coaches that have not done that here. There have been coaches that have not done that other places. And they are blessings in disguise. But all of that gets pushed to the wayside when it comes to fans, donors, and the administration if you can't back that up with wins. Because at the end of the day, in college football, whether you like it or not, wins is what it's about. You coach to win. You play to win. The fans show up. They pay for you to win. And that's not happening at Auburn. It has not happened at Auburn in quite some time. And there has been no consistency of that since Tommy Tuberville in my lifetime.
Yeah. I mean, this has been the roughest 4 or 5 year stretch of Auburn football in the history of Auburn football. And unfortunate that we had to discover that sitting in the student section, right? I mean, imagine
student section / press box.
But imagine being a freshman 4 years ago, and these are the 4 years of Auburn football that you were quote unquote gifted.
Brutal. Brutal.
I mean, you're talking about you're paid to win. I mean, that's why you come to school.
There's a large portion of the student body that goes to Auburn, goes to Alabama, goes to Tennessee, so they can go watch the football games.
Exactly.
That's just a fact. And you're right. You show up, and man, they've gone through hell. Like, this has been a terrible time for them. And, I mean, we, Noah Wright, our producer here, our intern, he's been a part of it. I mean, it's just, it's terrible to see. And to Jones's point, and to so many other Auburn fans, like, all the extra stuff is great. Like, I've heard great things about Hugh Freeze and his foundations and what they do outside of the facility, and all that is great. But you said it. You get paid to win football games. You don't get paid to come in and preach and make good men. And look, I'm not judging on that at all. That's
no,
great.
That's,
and
that is I would the other side of the story that we're not talking
correct.
About.
Correct. Like, I want all of that to be there. Yeah. But it's unfortunate that in this society that's how it goes. But that's just the fact of the matter. You have to win. If you want to do all those things and have all the extracurriculars and have the ability to have your voice out there and have it be heard and be influential and impactful to your guys and even people outside your program, it's backwards. I get it.
But you have
to win before you can do that if you want to be successful in that career. If you want to go and not be a football coach and do those things, be my guest. Go for it. But that's what society has placed on professional sports, and that's what we're talking about.
We're talking about minor league football at this point of time. And I mean, if the one thing that is keeping Coach Freeze around, other than a dollar sign from a buyout, and by no means this is not a speculation or this is not factual that I know any of this information, but
Hugh Freeze getting fired. You heard it here.
If that's the one thing that is, or I guess other than dollar signs, if the only other thing that's keeping him around is a recruiting class that's supposed to be upcoming, ask Jimbo Fisher what that was like. Being yeah. able to sign the third ranked, the fourth ranked, the second ranked recruiting class and go 7-5 or go 6-6, there's not a successful feel-good part of, hey, well, at least this is going well.
Because you can only sell that for so long.
Yes.
You can only sell that to the fans and the donors and the boosters for so long.
And then after so long, you know what you have to sell? The scoreboard at the end of a football game.
And that's where Auburn is lacking, and that's where they were lacking again on Saturday in the Iron Bowl, where you show up with all the momentum, the pressure is on the other sideline, on the other team, in their home stadium to perform in front of their however many fans now, and you just look horrible. You look terrible. Like, your offensive game plan is so vanilla at this point. It's so elementary at this point. I mean, it's laughable at times. Laughable. I've seen kids draw this up better in the backyard at recess and have better game planning and better strategy than this. And I hate to be that way, but man, when your own fan base was sitting in the stadium and chanting run the ball and you still didn't do it, that's pretty bad. And not the go for it on the 4th-and-1 at the 25-30 yard line. No. I was in the stadium that day for Oklahoma when 87,000 fans all together said, run the ball, and Auburn didn't do it. And the same thing happened again on Saturday where your defense gave you every chance in the world.
Every single chance.
Every chance in the world. And between lack of offensive production and special teams mishaps, again, Auburn loses their fifth straight Iron Bowl.
It's comically or ironically funny that on Friday my prediction was 28-20 Alabama, although Auburn would have plenty of chances to win. I wasn't expecting that many chances to go out and win.
No.
But the thing is if you would have told me, hey, the Iron Bowl has gone final, you have not watched any of it. The Auburn defense forced four turnovers and was up in meaningful minutes was up 4-1. In that category, would you guess that Auburn would win? I couldn't tell you that I would be confident that they would. And you look at it now, I mean, 28-14, you feel like it was a lot closer than that, but you also feel like it was a lot further away. You felt like the margin of victory was a lot bigger for Alabama. Jarquez Hunter ran the ball 10 times for 50 yards in the first half.
I think that's what, 5 yards a carry? Is that what Matt says?
Journalism, I know that's not our strong suit, but that is what I believe that adds up to.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
So now we're going to take 10 carries, and then you look at the total carries. He finished with 13. So how many carries is that in the second half?
Three.
For 56 yards. Ran the ball three times for 6 yards in the second half.
How?
Like it's
I physically cannot put it into words. And I have not been doing this for as long as some people have. But, oh my God. Like, you put it in that perspective and I genuinely want to sit down. And look, I'm not claiming to be the most offensive-minded football genius in the world. I can't tell you what all that stuff means. Half of it, I can't tell you what it means when they start talking like that. Because I'm not a football player. I'm not a coach. I've never been in that spot. Some people are, and good for you. But everybody's in the same boat of, can we sit down and just ask, what's going through your head right now? What was the strategy here? Like, I'm not trying to be condescending. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm not trying to be that type of dude. But, man, something's got to change. You cannot go into 2025 with that type of game plan and strategy, because Hugh Freeze will not make it through the year. They will fire him halfway through the season next year if nothing changes in an offensive strategy. I promise.
Auburn ran 25 plays in the second half. First off, that's gross in itself that you only ran 25 plays and legitimately 9/10 of those were on three and outs. You had one 10-play drive that turned into a touchdown, but of those 25 plays, how does 27 touch it three times?
I don't know.
Even if Jarquez Hunter ran the ball 15 times in the second half for 30 yards and you found your way to lose the game, but it wasn't because of a lack of using the best player on your team, mm-hmm. I think I would be okay with it. Just, obviously, again, running the ball up the gut wasn't the answer, because in the second half they had answers for it, but finding ways to where he touched the ball five times in the second half.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
I don't either. I really don't either. Well, hey, we got to get to a break. We got to take our final one here in hour number one. We're going to get to the phone lines. Ed, hold on. You'll be first up when we come back, and we'll wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Got a few minutes here in the segment. We went long in the last segment, but want to get this guy in before we get to break. 334-321-1390. Ed, you're on the line. What's up, man? I got about a minute or so for you.
Okay, I'll try to be real quick then. What I was going to say is as far as Hugh Freeze, I've never seen a coach look more miserable to be, you know, even coaching. I don't know what it is about him, but we saw no enthusiasm creativity or mm-hmm. anything. And the thing that gets me the worst is the stubbornness. Just the stubbornness that he was going to play Peyton Thorne and not run. I mean, run his offense instead of doing what he had. And I'll tell you, I know two coaches who have Auburn ties that I would love to have. You know, I agree, and I've told people for several months now that he seemed to be our Jimbo Fisher. But I would take Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State, or I would take Rhett Lashley from SMU in a heartbeat.
I think there's a lot of people in that category, Ed.
Okay, thanks, guys. Yep. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate the call. Good to hear from you, Ed. We appreciate you, man. Appreciate you listening and calling in here at the end of the hour. And Christian, I think that's a point you and I and T-Bone, we've talked about that a lot, is what Ed was talking about, was the emotions, or should I say lack thereof, from Hugh Freeze on the sidelines. And look, I'm not saying the guy's got to be all just sunshine and rainbows and hopping up and down and big old grin and, oh, get him next time. But like, you do want to see a little bit of flavor, emotions? I don't know. I mean, something when good or bad. We've seen some emotions when good, but the thing that's always stood out to me, especially this season, was when something goes wrong, stone cold. It's just nothing. No response.
It's cross the arms and stare up at something. And
which is, you would think, it, right? That's the time you would want to coach. And we've seen it at times where he would go over and talk to Peyton or talk to the running backs or talk to the receivers. But you just get the sense that he's not enjoying it. And he's made that very vocal at times. He doesn't enjoy all the parts of coaching. And there are people starting to talk. And they may think that Hugh Freeze, maybe it's just past his time. Maybe the game is past him. Maybe he doesn't want to do this anymore. Maybe he's not built for it anymore. People are starting to have those conversations, and the problem is those people are wearing orange and blue. That's when you know you're in scary times. We got a whole lot more coming up in hour number two. More college football, maybe a little college basketball as well. Stick around. Hour number two coming up.
You know all about.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch up with the podcast. You'll find it on our station website. That is ESPNAU.com. Be sure you check that out. All of our former shows, previous shows, however you want to say that, for On the Line and The Drive. You can find them on there at ESPNAU.com. We take the audio from the show, put it on the website for you, so you can go check that out. Well, if you ever miss a part of the show, a guest, an interview, whatever the case may be, be sure that you go and catch up with that at ESPNAU.com. Christian Griffin and I talked a lot of college football. We actually started the show with baseball talk today. We talked about a new potential rule change that I don't think would go over very well in Major League Baseball. We also talked about college football a little bit, some reactions from rivalry weekend, and then what Hugh Freeze and Auburn have to do moving forward and why fans are already turning on him and ready for him to go. Yes, all of that was in the first hour. More conversations here in the second hour. We're going to talk transfer portal signing day coming up tomorrow as well. Lots to get to with Auburn on that, so we're going to start the hour with that, talk a little basketball maybe. Christian's got to dip out a little bit early, so you'll have me for the last half hour of the show. Phone lines are open here on this Tuesday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. You can also shoot me a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And before we jump into content, want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here on ESPN during On the Line, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them sponsoring the second hour of my show each and every day here on ESPN. Well, Christian, it's a busy time in college football, and coaches like Hugh Freeze like to let us know how busy it is because of the broken calendar that exists in college football. Because let me lay it out for you. Today is December 3rd. Today is Tuesday. It's the first week of December, right? Sunday was the first of the month. Some people found that interesting. And you look at what this week entails. The regular season has come to an end. Conference championships are coming up this weekend. The transfer portal opens in 6 days, but people, because of how this era is in college football, you can announce your intent
to plan to.
Yeah, so basically you enter. early National Signing Day is tomorrow as well. And college basketball is going on. I know that's not with football. But regular season's done. Conference championships. Early signing day. Transfer portal. All those are happening. Oh, college football playoff. All that is going on in the next 7 days. That's kind of a lot for college football coaches, huh? That's kind of a lot for college football programs and organizations to deal with in such a short amount of time. No wonder they don't like the calendar, because how in the world are you supposed to keep up with all of this? And for Auburn in particular, right, we've seen several guys announce their intentions to enter the transfer portal. I don't think there's anything in there crazy just yet for Auburn. Couple of linemen. You've seen some defensive guys go. Saw a punter go in today. I mean, there's no real big shocks there in terms of portal entries for the Tigers. I think more are probably coming. But tomorrow's the big day. Tomorrow is the big day because you mentioned it in the first hour. That's a big, big reason why Hugh Freeze's seat may not be so hot yet, is because of what he's done in recruiting when he got here for the 2024 class and the potential of what tomorrow could bring.
And we talked about what he's expected to bring in. There's been a couple names that have made the flip already, either back to the university that they were initially quote-unquote committed to, or they flipped to somewhere new. And so tomorrow's going to be a really big test. You'll see what Coach Freeze and this staff are really about, who they're able to keep, because, again, the fact of the matter is, we talked about it in the preseason, how much easier it would be to recruit if we were at this point in time right now, even if it was 7-5. Or 8-4, or 9-3. Those were kind of the circled, quote-unquote, expectations that Auburn was expected to have, where you were sitting there going, the floor has to be 6 or 7 wins, right? Ain't no way!
Ain't no way that Auburn comes away. Win 8 games.
And so, if you're sitting there at that point, that makes recruiting a whole lot easier. But instead, you're sitting there at 5-7. You're not sitting there preparing for a bowl game. You're not in preparation for an SEC championship or a college football playoff bid, are you? At least, I don't think you are. And so, everything now goes back to probably point A of why Coach Freeze's seat, as you mentioned, is not as hot, because of what he brought in 24, what's expected to come here in 25. So, if you're Auburn, if you're Coach Freeze tomorrow, you got to not only keep the names that you're expected to keep, I feel like you got to find a way to get a couple big ones as well. There's a couple that are slated to have been, you know, Naeem offered probably the biggest name right there, to where you're expected, or you're expecting Auburn to make that flip tomorrow morning. But again, there's still so much that can happen, so much that's going to happen. And just, again, it really is such a tough time, because you're going out recruiting kids in the high school level. Then you're going to have to come back and talk to those same position groups that are already on your team and convince them to stay. So a lot that's going to need to be done here on the Plains in the next coming weeks.
Yeah, you've already seen a couple of guys flip from Auburn. Florida's been one of those that has come in. And shout out to Florida. Again, Billy Napier, in 1 month's time, Christian. In 1 month's time, Florida's 2025 recruiting class has gone from outside the top 50. Do you know where it currently stands according to 247? Number 11 in the country.
I was about to say it's going to be top 20, if not top 15.
Number 11 in the country. Florida has gone from outside the top 50 in recruiting. Let me say this again.
That was a team we were making fun of.
Yes.
31 days ago, because of, look at their record and look at their recruiting class.
They're done.
They are dead in the water.
And in 30 days' time, Billy Napier got the backing of his program from his boosters, from his athletic department, from his university. They started winning some games. They started being competitive. They ended with a better record than Auburn. And they now went from an outside 50th recruiting ranking in 2025 to a top 12 class. They're ranked 11th in the country. But there is an asterisk there, because while they are ranked 11th in the country, we know this about the SEC, you're pretty far down the list in terms of the SEC. You ready for this?
Probably. I'm going to guess sixth.
I haven't counted, but let's find out. Georgia, Bama, Texas, Auburn, LSU, A&M, Tennessee. That's golly. Seven. Florida is eighth in the country right now in their top, in their 2025 recruiting class. They're eighth in the SEC, 11th in the country for 2025 recruiting, rather early signing day tomorrow.
Makes you feel like, oh, we're the 11th ranked class. We're going to be great. Then you go look at your schedule, and it's, oh, we're in the bottom half of the teams that we're scheduled to play next year.
And don't worry, Oklahoma and Ole Miss, they're 14 and 15. They're hot on their trail.
How nice would it be, or how nice is it, though, that Gus is gone at UCF, Florida State's not doing anything in Tallahassee? I wouldn't be surprised if Florida gets a couple of those guys tomorrow as well.
Especially if Miami can't squeeze their way into a playoff.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if they miss out on the playoff.
You miss out on
the
playoff, and you now have the argument of which team is hotter.
Yeah,
because you talk about Cam Ward being their X factor. If you don't have him, we have a team behind us.
Yeah,
we have a quarterback that's here for, I was going to say at least three more years, but the auction block. We have a kid who's supposed to be here at least for next year.
Sure.
And I mean, other than South Carolina, is there a team that's played a better back half of the season that wasn't necessarily expected to?
I think that's the back end point you have to put on that. A team that exceeded expectations, especially in the back half of the year.
Yeah.
I think Florida has to be in that conversation. And you're right, with the turmoil that's happening down in the state of Florida, with as big as it is in recruiting, with Gus now leaving, has there any word on who's going to be their new head coach at UCF? I mean, that's a great job. That's a great job. I mean, that's a Big 12 head coaching gig that Gus Malzahn walked, which I don't think we've even talked about, walked away from to be the offensive coordinator at Florida State. If that doesn't tell you what the head coaching job is now requiring of people, that should. And sure, we'll make some Auburn ties here. It's not very hard. You know who's really good friends with Gus Malzahn? It's Hugh Freeze. And I don't know anything, and I'm not this is speculation. I'm not trying to say that I know anything, but you're talking about two guys that have been cut from the very similar cloth, which is what a lot of people said about them as coaches when Hugh Freeze was hired here, that he was Gus 2.0. You're talking about a guy in Gus Malzahn that just walked away from a head coaching gig where nobody thought he was miserable, nobody thought he wasn't having fun, but he obviously wasn't enjoying the head coaching duties. He walked away to be an offensive coordinator at another big-time program in the same state. You can't tell me that him and Hugh Freeze are not going to have a phone call, or have not already had a phone call about this. And you very well could see Hugh Freeze do something similar. I don't know. I'm just saying there's a connection there, and it would not surprise me if down the road you saw something like that.
No, not at all. And then going back to Florida, Florida is in a position right now that Auburn thought they could be in this past year. Of the state's kind of been dominated by the other teams for a little bit longer, and in the state of Alabama was dominated by Alabama, but then all of a sudden a coaching change, things don't necessarily work out, and you feel like the state is up there for the taking. Florida's obviously always been one of the top teams in the state, but over the past couple years have had a little bit more down years. Miami, obviously, with a great start this year. UCF with a great start this past year. Struggled, obviously, this year, but you feel like they're at a spot right now to – the state is up for grabs, and all of the recruits that come with that. And Billy Napier is in a great spot to win a couple of those guys on early signing day tomorrow.
Somebody texted in and said, says Gus walked away before he got fired. Don't pretend it was voluntary. Totally understand. I mean, he didn't have a great year. I mean, what, they have 4 wins this year, right? He was not his graces were not very welcomed there in UCF right now, because he was the future of college football and the future was UCF, and that just hasn't gone very well. But the fact of the matter is, he didn't just walk away from football. That's the point I'm making here. He didn't walk away and retire off in the sunset with a big payout. He just doesn't want to be a head coach anymore. He still wants to be a part of the game. He still wants to be a coach, just not the head coach.
It's so weird too. You talk about how similar they are and how similar the seasons are for them as well. I mean, you talk about two fantastic backs, Jarquez Hunter at Auburn, RJ Harvey at UCF, but both put all of their money on a specific quarterback. Hugh Freeze with Peyton Thorne and Gus with KJ Jefferson coming from Arkansas. and KJ Jefferson got hurt and didn't live up to the expectations, and all of a sudden the win-loss record comes to show, and all of a sudden you don't love where you're at and you step away. So it's weird to see how you talk about those coaches being so similar with their offensive mindset and their game plan, but how similar those two seasons have gone respectively as well.
And to bring it back to the initial point with early signing day coming up tomorrow, that just shows how important it is for Hugh Freeze, because his entire message since day one was, let me get my talent. Let me get my guys. Let me get my guys. Let me get my guys. And we get talent, we're going to be good. We're going to win. And my argument has continued to be from last year to this year. And this was my big statement of the show yesterday. From last year to this year for Auburn football, which team was more talented? This year's team, by a lot. This team was extremely more talented than last year's team was. But yet you went backwards. You took a step backwards from last year to this year in terms of flat-out results on the field, W's and L's. That's not okay. And so it's understandable. I'm in this boat. I'm just admitting to you right now that the confidence of a lot of the fan base, myself included, is starting to slip away and starting to dip, because I don't know if he can do it with the talent that he wants to get in here. Talent will solve some of the problems. Talent will solve some of the issues that Auburn had this year, right? Take a Cam Ward, for example. He would have fixed a lot of the problems this year and probably won Auburn some games. But you know what else he would have done? He probably would have been a little bit of fool's gold too. He probably would have covered up some of the issues that we're seeing with Hugh Freeze right now, with some of the offensive lack of game planning and lack of strategy and lack of success. A good quarterback would have covered some of those things up, which I'm not saying that's a bad thing in the short term, but I think it would be a bad thing in the long term. I really, really do. I think that would have been a bad thing in the long term. So at the end of the day, could this be a blessing in disguise? I have no idea. But I'm just thinking, I'm thinking 50,000 IQ right here, right now. Like, going kind of deep on this. But no, just think about it, though.
It's funny because I talked about that with a couple buddies last night, talking about how, because I was talking about, you know, imagine if Auburn would have gotten this and this. And they were like, well, quarterback wasn't really the issue for Auburn this year, was it? And I was like, well, at the head of everything, or at the forefront, it definitely feels like it is, because a quarterback can cover up, is almost a big Band-Aid on a program, because a quarterback can go out and make a difference and win you a couple games. And obviously, yeah, there's the question, or there's the argument that a different quarterback would have done that this year. That being said, what Auburn's situation is – you couldn't cover up anything, and you got exposed to every single flaw, every single crook and cranny that you didn't have polished and perfected, and you got exposed. It's like when the grandparents come over to your house and your parents yell at you for not cleaning your room, and you feel like you just throw everything in the closet, and no, they're not going to find anything, and all of a sudden they walk up and the closet's wide open and they see everything that's messy with it. You thought that you could hide that without getting a quarterback, and you got wildly exposed.
I want to leave you with a question as we go to break. Is it a good thing that Auburn got exposed, or a bad thing that Auburn got exposed? And what we mean by that is exposed of what very well could be Hugh Freeze and his game planning, his guys not being what we thought they were. Is that a good thing moving forward, or bad? We'll talk about that when we come back as we continue with the Tuesday edition of On the Line after this.
Are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, we posed a question as we were going to break. We'll take a couple of minutes to get to it. Christian, your final segment. I know you got to get out of here and get on the road. I do too, but somebody's got to finish the show. So you were on the road for Lee Scott basketball. I'm on the road for Auburn High. I'll plug it all here in just a little bit. But we asked a question based off the conversation that I think we may have flipped over a stone that we may not have been ready for. But big brain, if it works out or if it ends up this way, and it's hard to think this way, and I don't want to do it super deep because it is just the end of year two. But it's fair to say that since Hugh Freeze and Auburn did not go get a quarterback in the transfer portal this past season, right, didn't want to pay the $1 million or whatever, I don't care if that quote meant a whole lot or not, I'll never let him live it down, I will use it till the end of time. It's fair to say that since he did not go and pay a quarterback in the portal, There was no good quarterback to cover up the damages, to cover up the wounds, to cover up the mishaps in the Hugh Freeze, Derek Nix, whoever's involved offense, because we still don't really know the answer to that. A good quarterback, a talented quarterback, an athletic quarterback would have covered up a lot of that. But Auburn didn't have that this year. So all of that got exposed. The question is, moving forward for the future, Christian, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I want to say good, but I also want to say bad. Again, it makes it where you can make legitimate arguments for both sides, because you feel like Auburn's been in such a depression to where you almost needed the success now, to where if you would have gone and gotten that, then you would have had a little bit more of an answer. That being said, if there was immediate success and Auburn won 9 and had a possibility of winning 10 games this year, last thing you would want Auburn to do is go and Gus Malzahn, quite literally 2.0, and Hugh Freeze get the 7-year contract extension because we think all of the problems are fixed. Then all of a sudden you don't get that A++ quarterback and you have a season like this 2 or 3 years down the road and you're throwing your hands up like, oh gosh, here we are again.
I think that's a great way to put it, and I'll leave it at that. So sit on that. Think about that for a little bit, Auburn fans. Want to get to a question in the on-the-line text box. We got this from a very loyal listener yesterday who was asking T-Bone about his thoughts on flag planting. And we got to this earlier in the show. And so we appreciate Eric in Auburn, who's a very loyal listener, very active in our text box, 334-784-1067. Your thoughts, Christian, on flag planting, whether it be rivalry weekend, first week, doesn't matter, whatever the case may be, with all the stuff that happened, it seemed to be a trend in college football this past weekend where opposing teams, road teams, who were very successful, not Auburn, but very successful on the road this weekend in rivalry weekend, wanted to go plant their flag at midfield. It led to brawls. It led to fights. It led to pepper spray. It led to suspensions. It led to fines. It led to... What a joke, by the way, for the Big Ten to be like, Ohio State, Michigan, you're fined $100,000 for letting your players fight. Okay. Well, good one, Big Ten. Nice. Yeah. Nicely done. Anyway, your thoughts on flag planting.
I'm going to sound a lot older than my...
Shut up, boomer.
Yeah. Than my generation really is, but it is... quite literally for the social media side
of
college athletics. It's so that way I can post a picture on my Instagram that goes hard, right?
Yeah.
So that way I can look cool, and that way, again, goes back to so that way I can do this. By no means is it so that Oklahoma or whoever, I'm thinking of Baker Mayfield, but so that Michigan can look cool and, you know, be proud of our university and plant our flag at Ohio State's midfield. It's very much, we won, I'm going to do this because I think that it looks cool and I'm going to go do it regardless of whatever happens.
And when you think about when Baker did it at Oklahoma when they were at Ohio State, right? What year was that? Was that 14, 15? What year was, I'm trying to remember what year that was. See if you can confirm that. But think about, that's really when the mindset in society started to change, especially in sports, where it started to become a me, not us.
I was about to say, I thought that it was later than that, and it was. It was the 2017 year when Auburn ended up playing them.
Oh, wow. It was that late.
Yeah.
Wow. It's been a long time. Anyway, but that's around when, well, that makes even more sense than for my argument, where that's when society really started to change, especially in sports, where it's about me, not really about you, not really about us. Eh, it's kind of about me. And
it's about us as long as I look good doing it.
Exactly. And I think these types of situations, like, again, I've been very vocal about it. I loved it when Baker did it at Ohio State. Now, that's part of the reason because of my feelings of the Buckeyes, but that was the first time you had really seen anything like that, and it was pretty insane. It was crazy. It caught the internet by storm. It was cool, but it's one of those things where, okay, I've seen it once. I don't really need to see it again.
I don't need to change the channel and see it on 8 different TV screens at the exact same time.
Right.
Simply because somebody's wanting to go viral again.
And so the way that I feel about it is I would like you to respect your opponent more than that. And you said it too. I would rather Michigan celebrate Michigan rather than... I would rather you celebrate Michigan winning than Ohio State losing.
Uplift your team rather than
tear them down.
Tearing them down because, again, you legitimately just did that for 60 minutes.
At least on the field.
Yeah.
You go in that locker room and you can go full Ed Orgeron as much as you want, man. You see that? That's one of my favorite clips. Cannot repeat it on the radio. That's one of my, if you know what I'm talking about, when they beat Alabama, you know what I'm talking about. In that locker room, on the bus, in your dorm, that's cool. Tear them down, boy. That's what sports is about. But when you're on the field, you've got to have some sort of mutual respect. You have to, and this is such a lost art, you have to know how to win. You have to know how to win, and they don't know how.
Did you listen to Steve Sarkisian's post-game conference?
Yes, yes.
That is exactly what he was talking about, because he was the one coach that legitimately walked up to midfield and shooed his players back to their side after the game. Because he was saying, this is something that the University of Texas needs to celebrate. This is something that we need to celebrate. We need to continue to learn how to win and do things the right way.
Somebody texted in, a loyal listener, Jeremy, I'm going to read this. It's hilarious. He says, if I beat you on your field, I get to dance, smoke a cigar, plant a flag, or kiss your girlfriend on your field. You had 60 minutes to stop me. Get over it. I love it. I love it. Christian, you got to go, my man. You're on the road. I'll plug it all when we come back. You're on the road for Lee Scott Basketball. Safe travels, my man. Have a good call.
You as well, man. See
you. See you later. All right, we got 30 more minutes. I'm going to talk some basketball when we come back because huge games tonight, even bigger games tomorrow. We got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
All right, we got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. Christian Griffin dipped out. He is going to be hitting the road here momentarily as Lee Scott Academy basketball is on the road tonight, taking on Horseshoe Bend. You can tune into him. He is off and running in the basketball season. You can tune into the Lee Scott Sports Network all season long for basketball on Tiger Country 104.5. That is 104.5 on your radio dial, tigercountry.net or the Radio Alabama app. So he will be on the road calling Lee Scott Academy basketball. Girls start at 5:30. Boys start after that. That's a roundabout time, so just keep that in mind. I'll also be on the road. As soon as this show is over, I got to hit the road, too. I'm heading to Benjamin Russell, where the Auburn High Tigers are in action on the hardwood. Girls start at 5:30. Boys at 7. Both of those teams got a win last night against Montgomery Academy, the Eagles of Montgomery Academy. And let me say this, man. That girls' team is really, really good. The boys' team is solid. They're still getting their feet under them, got a lot of their football players back and really starting to come into form. That girls' team is solid, man. They got a couple of D1 athletes over there and really excited to get back in the gym. As long as this voice can hold on, man. He's been fighting this illness for several days. And, again, I got work to do. And I grew up to where you didn't miss school, you didn't miss work. So that's here we are, and we got stuff to do. And happy to be here. And it's been a great show so far. Phone lines continue to be open if you want to be a part of it. 334-321-1390. You can also shoot me a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. Great action in there as always. And do want to talk a little college basketball because this tonight and tomorrow are really, really good for the sport. We just went through possibly the best week of college basketball I may have ever watched. Like I'm being serious. I'm not saying that for dramatics. I'm not saying that because I want to get somebody riled up. I genuinely think it could be up there for one of the best weeks I've ever seen in college basketball. Over the Thanksgiving break, over Feast Week, between Maui, Atlantis, a couple of Vegas tournaments. Like, there was a lot that happened in the sport of college basketball last week. Sonic blockbusters. Like, it was awesome. And in a time for college football where there's so much going on, but especially for you Auburn fans, where you haven't had a whole lot to cheer for. In those few days, though, you had a lot, right? You had Auburn beating Texas A&M. You had Auburn go on a run in Maui. Like, it was nice for a couple of days. The Iron Bowl, you know, brought us back down to earth. But that's okay. That's how it happens. That's, some would say, Jabba. I don't know where that guy is. But for college basketball in general, though, it's been great. And tonight kicks back up with several, not tournaments, but challenges, right? We know how college basketball works. You used to have, back in the day growing up, you had the SEC Big 12 Challenge. And I loved it. I loved the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Even though Auburn did not compete in it for a lot of the years, right? Because they were always near the bottom and didn't get didn't get into the top however many number to make it into that the challenge, right? It was always a lot of fun. You got to see Kentucky and Kansas. You got to see Tennessee, Kansas State. You got to see, right, Ole Miss take on Texas Tech, right? And I really loved all those games being on a Saturday. They played all of those games on one day. One. They started at 11 a.m. and they ran to 11 o'clock at night. And it was awesome to see. And now you have changed it up to where the SEC is now in the ACC Challenge, right? It's the SEC-ACC Challenge, which I think is still cool, and I think it has potential for some really cool matchups, and I think you're going to see that here this week. And you also have, and I love this, the Big 12-Big East Challenge. That is going to be really, really cool. I want to talk about all these matchups, including Auburn and Duke coming up tomorrow, but just got some breaking news. We mentioned earlier in the show how there was no big names yet and really no impactful names that had entered the transfer portal for Auburn football yet. I think it's fair to say that's changed. Auburn wide receiver Camden Brown has entered the transfer portal. Sorry, I had to do it. Had to lead you on a little bit. Transfer into the portal. Camden Brown intends to enter the transfer portal. It literally says from Christian Clemente, friend of ours over at Auburn 247, Auburn wide receiver Camden Brown has announced his intention to enter the transfer portal on Tuesday when it opens up. And, you know, this is a tough situation here with Camden Brown, because talk about a guy that's been here for quite some time, right? A guy that has been through a lot with this program, who was a 2022 recruit. In just a couple of years, he saw a lot here. I had his time, had his moments in the sun, but I think was just kind of buried in the wide receiver room with all the young talent that is in there right now and the handful that'll be coming in too. And I think Auburn going and getting somebody in the portal like a KLS, I think that kind of put Camden Brown's time here to bed. And so, and according to Christian, it says Brown caught 9 passes for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns as a freshman, 10 passes for 105 yards as a sophomore, and 7 passes for 61 yards and a touchdown as a junior. Remember, he flipped from Pitt to Auburn and came here to play for Brian Harsin. That's when he flipped, was for Brian Harsin on signing day. So, again, all that from Christian Clemente at Auburn 247. So, yeah, I hate to see that one. I do. I hate to see it because I think he has seen some of the dark days of Auburn football, but I think he could be a really solid, experienced receiver somewhere. Power 4, I don't know. I don't know Power 4, but I think maybe somewhere like that, maybe like an ACC or even in the Group of 5. I think he could just go and be almost like a KLS was. Maybe not to that extent, but somebody who can step in and just have experience. He may not have to be the go-to guy, and that's, wow, what a funny conversation that is, too. Remember when KLS transferred in, we were like, he may be the leader for 3 or 4 games, but then we expect Cam Coleman to take off, and he'll be the leader by the end of it. That didn't happen. KLS was the leading receiver on this team all season long. I think Camden Brown could fit that mold somewhere else. I think he could fit that mold somewhere else to where he's got experience, he's got some touchdowns under his belt, he's been through a lot of battles, and he could just kind of coach up some guys. And I think hopefully he finds that home somewhere, but I would say that's probably the first big name to drop in the transfer portal. The intention to enter Camden Brown, the Auburn wide receiver, intends to enter his name into the transfer portal coming up on Tuesday. That's when it opens up for all of college football. And you look right now as of who is going to be entering into the transfer portal or intending to enter into the transfer portal. Holden Gurner was one that we have yet to talk about. I think that's important to note, right, that he is one who pretty much announced really early, like a couple of days ago, I believe on Sunday, he announced that he was going to be entering. The Hank Brown one is really, really interesting because there were reports that Hank was going to be entering, and then he denied it. He said, no, that's not happening. He posted on his Instagram, on his social media, that he was not going to be entering. So keep your eye on that one. He completely denied it and said, no, I love y'all, War Eagle, not going anywhere. So interesting storyline on how that went down. Mike O'Reilly has entered or will be entering the transfer portal. EJ Harris, the offensive lineman, will be entering the transfer portal. Gage Keys on the defensive line. He was not on the team. He had already left the team and was not a part of it. So he will be entering the transfer portal. And you also have a couple of guys who Gabe Russo, right, the punter, I mentioned him earlier, he has entered the transfer portal. And so for Auburn, that's what you need to know in terms of guys. And now Camden Brown, guys that have left Auburn or plan to leave Auburn in the transfer portal. So we'll keep up with that. It's a lot of going on right now with the portal tomorrow, with National Signing Day, early National Signing Day, with so many big names on the board that Auburn's trying to keep home, flip, and things like that. But want to get back to the basketball conversation because you look at what's happening tonight and tomorrow in college basketball. These are just games that include top 25 teams, okay? Games that include top 25 teams in college basketball. Number 14, Cincinnati and Villanova, the Big East, Big 12 Challenge. How about tonight? Syracuse at Tennessee for the SEC-ACC Challenge. You've got Big Ten basketball kicking off, apparently. Didn't know this. Michigan and Wisconsin. Okay. How about Georgia Tech and Oklahoma? That's an SEC-ACC challenge. That's kind of gross, huh? But could be kind of decent, I guess. Oklahoma got a little hot down the stretch in Feast Week. They're a top 25 team. Undefeated are the Sooners of Oklahoma. You've got Wake Forest at Texas A&M, Ole Miss at Louisville. That's a Louisville team that just smacked around Indiana and Atlantis last week. And Kentucky is at Clemson tonight. Kentucky at Clemson tonight. That's pretty intriguing if you ask me. Then tomorrow. Tomorrow's the big day for sure, where you've got loaded games across college basketball with top 10, top 5, top 25 types of matchups. Listen to this slate tomorrow in college basketball. Number 15, Baylor, on the road at number 25, UConn, in the Big 12 Big East battle. You've got number 10, Alabama, on the road at number 20, North Carolina, in the SEC-ACC Men's SEC Challenge in Chapel Hill. Virginia, on the road at number 13, Florida. That's solid. How about this? Number 5, Marquette. 8-0 in the country. Fifth-ranked team in all of college basketball on the road in Ames, taking on the 6th-ranked Iowa State Cyclones. That's a heck of a matchup there. Number 1, Kansas, is on the road in Omaha, taking on the Blue Jays of Creighton. And then your Auburn Tigers, the 2nd-ranked team in the country, on the road, taking on the 9th-ranked Duke Blue Devils in Durham. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. It is so many good games, just a stacked slate happening all across college basketball between tonight and tomorrow with SEC, ACC, and Big 12, Big East. I don't know which one's going to be better. I really don't, because there are so many good games here, man. But for Auburn in particular, what an opportunity, again, for this Tigers team to go and get a huge win to boost their resume again and just have an opportunity to prove to the country that they are the best team in college basketball, which I think that they are. And look, I know a lot of you were hoping they would be the number one team in the country, and I get it. I do. I absolutely get it. But I'm also okay with Auburn not being the number one team in the country. I'm okay with us holding the two spot and just letting it ride. Letting it go, right? Because I don't know, man. Especially in basketball, just seems to be some bad juju around being the number one team in the country. Like, they just go down so often, more now than ever before, right? And so, I don't know. I think I'm okay with Auburn being the second-ranked team in the country. I really am. I think I'm okay with that, and I'm really pumped. I don't see a spread for this game. A lot of these other ones have one. I don't see a spread for Auburn and Duke. If somebody's got it, shoot me a text, 334-784-1067, because I would like to think Auburn would be favored in this game, but I don't know. I'm going to try and look it up as I talk to you. I don't know if there is a spread or not. I'm going to look it up on this website that doesn't look sketchy at all. Okay, according to oddshark.com, so take that for what you will, Auburn is a 2.5-point underdog on the road at Duke tomorrow night. How does that, sound about right to you? Does that sound accurate? Duke, a 2.5-point favorite over Auburn on the road, or over Auburn at home in Cameron Indoor? I think that's fair. This will be, right, this will be Auburn playing in its first real, well, you can't even say the true road game because they played in Houston. They played downtown Houston. So I think that's okay. I think that's fine. I mean, I think you shouldn't feel too stressed about it. And so overall, I'm excited for college basketball with the games coming up tonight and the games coming up tomorrow. We got to get to our final break here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We'll wrap it all up on the other side.
War Eagle, this is Coach Hugh Freeze, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate you all being with us today, man. I had a great show. Christian Griffin was in the studio with us for most of the show. He is on the road heading out to Horseshoe Bend, where Lee Scott Academy basketball will be on the air tonight. Girls start at 5:30, boys at 7, as the Warriors taking on Horseshoe Bend. And then I am going to be on the air. I'm going to try, man. Going to try. I don't know. This last 30 minutes has put the voice in a predicament. And so we're going to try and get the games on the air tonight for Auburn High School basketball, as the Tigers, ladies and the boys, are going to be on the road taking on Benjamin Russell. Yeah, about 45 minutes up the road. We're going to go and get set up there and to call Auburn High School basketball on 96.3 W Lee. So Lee Scott Academy on the Lee Scott Sports Network. That's on Tiger Country 104.5. That's 104.5 on your radio dial. And then Auburn High Basketball, that is on 96.3 WLE, that's 96.3 FM, 963WLEE.com, or you can listen to both. Just bounce back and forth if you got nothing to do tonight. If you're looking for something to listen to, you can bounce back and forth on the Radio Alabama app. So be sure that you have those downloaded, and appreciate Christian for joining us in the studio as he does every Tuesday. We talked about a lot today, man. We talked about baseball to start the show, and no Lindsey Crosby. We did get some of his input, though, and his insight from the golden at-bat rule that is starting to fly around as MLB is thinking about it, apparently. So, I don't know. You go back and listen to the podcast for that conversation. We got pretty in-depth on that. And also, talked more about Auburn and Alabama in the Iron Bowl. We've talked about the transfer portal, how it's not open, but it feels like it is. And also talked a lot about early National Signing Day that's coming up tomorrow. It's going to be a busy, busy day on the show. I've got to get confirmation with Jordan Hill just to make sure that we can get him on with early signing day, because he's a big cover of that for Georgia football. So we got to make sure that we are good to get him on. Also going to have Double D on tomorrow to talk about Auburn and early National Signing Day, because Freeze talks at 3 o'clock. And so he has his presser tomorrow at 3, so they expect most of that action to be done by that point, which is hopefully the case. And look, it's a big day tomorrow. It really is. So before we get to that, if you missed any of today's show, be sure you go and catch it with the podcast. You can find it at ESPNAU.com. That'll be posted right after the show today, so be sure you go and check that out. But yeah, man, tomorrow is a big day. Tomorrow's a big day for Auburn football, because Hugh Freeze, as we have said time and time again, the reason his seat is not as hot as it could be, or as some would say it should be, is because of the recruiting classes that he has already brought in and that he's predicted to bring in with most of the guys tomorrow. That's the thing, too. Not everybody will sign tomorrow. It is still technically the early signing day. So not everybody will be in the boat tomorrow and heading to the dock to go home and hang them up and sell them to market, right? You still have some work to do. But as we all know, 85% of those kids sign early now. And so for Hugh Freeze to keep any confidence in him, in this program, in the direction that it's heading, you have to hit a home run tomorrow. And not even a home run. I'm talking grand slam, out of the park, Wii Sports style here. You've got to get a hold of it and watch it and sail into the night sky. You've got to get everybody that has been committed to you. You've already lost a couple, so you got to make up for those. And you can do that by winning this state. If you secure this state, I think Auburn would feel, Auburn fans, the university, the athletic department, and hopefully Hugh Freeze and that coaching staff would feel better about where they're headed, right? I think they would feel better about 2025 with the class that they're bringing in, because you saw how many freshmen played this year. Those freshmen, as long as most of them hang around, and I think they will then be experienced sophomores, and you pair them with talented freshmen that are coming in this coming class, right? That's how important this is. You could have a really young, raw, talented team in 2025. But you're going to have some experience on that team too. And so we'll talk more portal additions and what Auburn's got to do in the transfer portal, because that conversation could go on forever. But in terms of early signing day, you've got to get the guys you've promised to bring in. You've got to deliver if you're Hugh Freeze tomorrow, because if you don't, it will be a long offseason on the plains, and the fans will continue to turn, because that's the reason he's still here. That's the reason anybody's got confidence. It's because he's proven he can do it off the field, but he says he needs the talent to do it on the field. Well, you got another chance to do that tomorrow with early signing day. We're going to talk about it on the show tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, for Christian Griffin, safe travels, my friend. I'm heading out to high school basketball. Listen to it tonight on the Radio Alabama app. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.